You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where I've actually got an article up today looking at how Drew Holiday's fared since he's been back with the New Orleans Pelicans. And that's just talking about his stats on the court. The real story with him is the Pelicans are undefeated since he's returned, a perfect 3-0 with wins over Portland, Charlotte, and then last night in a just absolute throttling of the Atlanta Hawks on the road. Absolutely tremendous win for the Pelicans. Very unexpected, too. I was saying to a couple of people yesterday, I thought they'd be coming back down to earth, but they do win 112-94. I think they had a lead as large as 34 points. Other big story of that game is they did this without Anthony Davis. He only played about 19 minutes, I think it was, because he went out with injury. 18 and a half minutes. He went out with injury after making a hustle play for a loose ball, and what was kind of scary, actually, when he came back in. But this team, even when he went out, piled it on to the Hawks, who were having just an absolutely, you know, off night, even though they shot well, but it seemed like they didn't know what was going on, had absolutely no answers for the Pelicans at all. So obviously this is going to be a very optimistic podcast, three times optimistic if you want to go based off of the three wins they've had since Holiday's return. I'm going to tell you guys who played well. You know, did anyone not play well? It's tough to say. But why these guys played well, you know, how did they manage to pull this off while Anthony Davis was out? Focus on some of the key contributors that they had in this game going forward. So this should be a pretty fun one. Then I'm just going to give you a couple of things every Pelicans fan should be thankful for. It is the day before Thanksgiving. As a programming note, no podcast on Thanksgiving Day. Not going to do one on Friday either. I think it's best to take some time off from the Pelicans. They're not playing on Thursday. Spend some time with your families. Eat some good food. Or when you just get sick of your family, head to a bar and drink until they no longer bother you. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes. Audio Boom. You can subscribe on there. Use Stitcher, whatever podcast app you want. Make sure you're getting this, you know, on a daily basis on the days we do come out, which is normally 5 days a week. The only podcast doing that for you. I get them up at 6 a.m, so they're there for your morning commute, your morning run, whenever it is you listen to them. Locked On Pelicans is going to be there for you early. So please make sure you're subscribing. If you can rate it 5 stars. Share it with your friends. I always say, even if it's just one friend and they're a Pelicans fan, get them listening. Let's get more people on this. It's a good time to be a Pelicans fan right now. Again, 3-0 with Drew Holiday. That's really exciting and an absolutely wonderful thing. So the 112-94 win over the Atlanta Hawks, very impressive win for the Pelicans, especially putting up that 112. Atlanta was one of the top 2-3 defensive teams, if not the best, in the league, and they had absolutely no answer for the Pelicans. In the first quarter, the Pelicans put up 34 points to Atlanta's 14. Pelicans shot over 60% that quarter. Atlanta shot around the mid-20s for that quarter. You know, that was kind of your game right there. That's such a hole to try and climb out of, 20 points already. There's not a whole lot you can do there. And the Pelicans then, you know, had a scary moment. Anthony Davis goes diving after a loose ball after he had a monstrous, thunderous dunk from Drew Holiday on the alley-oop, but goes into the stands, comes back hurting, limping a little bit, goes to the locker room. He was listed as questionable. And you have to figure maybe something like what happened in the Lakers game is going to occur tonight or last night. And that was where, you know, Davis gets out of the game. This team gets deflated. They think they can't win, and they just give up. That's what they did against the Lakers. They quit. There's no other way around that. But that wasn't the case against the Hawks. They came out and started piling in more points. And I don't know if it's the Drew Holiday effect, where now they feel they're not helpless if the best player is out of the game for him, if Anthony Davis is hurt or on the bench. But they seem to have more confidence, and you could see it. They were playing in control. They were still being aggressive and attacking. It was just very smart basketball overall. They managed to pile it on. Tim Frazier really held it down tonight. You know, I've been ragging on him. I've kind of been off the Frazier bandwagon. I still am kind of off to a degree. He had 21 points, which ties his career high, 14 assists with 5 rebounds and 3 steals. He's not good in the pick and roll. I'm going to tell you guys that. He's not good in the pick and roll. He's better as a secondary ball handler, which is the how they use him a lot when Holiday's out there too. That's why you see both in the backcourt together. You use him as a secondary ball handler. He can make some really nifty passes. He sees the court really well. And, you know, if you don't get him on the pick and roll where he's not a huge threat to attack, he can make the right pass at the right time, find a cutter. There was one point, I think it was in the third or fourth, it was definitely in the second half, he had the ball, was kind of trapped in the corner. You had Terrence Jones, who had a very smart cut back in the lane, and Frazier just picked him out with a laser pass, got Terrence Jones an easy 2 points. It was a tremendous sequence, and that's what he does best. When he has someone else who can be the primary pick-and-roll ball handler, when he's not worried about that and can attack and create in other ways, and that's what you like to see out of him. Particularly tonight also, you know, he's not known as a great three-point shooter. He was 3 of 4 tonight and was very aggressive early on with that shot. He was feeling it. Maybe he had good warm-ups. But him being able to go 3 of 4 from deep is absolutely huge for him. That's going to mean he's going to keep getting minutes if he's shooting that well from that distance. You know, you've got to wonder when Tyreek Evans comes back with Holiday being back. Is Frazier going to see the same minutes he's been seeing? Well, if he's making his three-pointers, he absolutely will be. So it was tremendous to see him play tonight. 4 for 4 from the line. Again, 14 assists, 21 points in 35 minutes. He did everything you could ask. Again, aggressiveness. At times he would get lost on the defensive end, but the Hawks were playing so bad on offense, it was okay. But he held his own. He turned a lot of those steals into fast break points, and he had a very, very good game. Etwan Moore's a guy I haven't really talked about a lot in a while. I used to say he used to do his Etwan Moore thing, which was give you right around 15 points or so per game in the starting role. You know, his minutes have kind of decreased a little bit with Holiday coming back to somewhat. You know, those minutes have to come from somewhere, and they've come at the expense of Buddy Hield, but they've also come at the expense of Etwan Moore a little bit. But he was aggressive early, and again, that was what I said about Frazier, but Etwan Moore was coming out firing. Made 2 3-pointers right away in the first quarter, which gave the Pelicans a big early lead when they started running it out when I think they were up like 19-10, something like that, 17-8, and got the Pelicans a lot of momentum just early on in the game. He finished 3 of 5 from the night, 15 points. He could get into the lane too. He shows he's got a bit of a, not quite a jumper, but he can fire off a floater if there's traffic and still score. You know, basically, he's doing exactly what the Pelicans wanted when they signed him. They signed him to a pretty cap-friendly contract. You know, he was going to be a starter, but he wasn't going to be playing 36 minutes a night. He was going to be someone who's starting maybe the first sub out in exchange for Buddy Hield, another situational guy, depending on what it is. But he came out firing and was aggressive tonight and did exactly what the Pelicans want him to do. 15 points in 23 minutes. Very good from him. Solid defense. You just can't be upset with what he does. Maybe you'd like a 20-point outing, you know, a little bit more consistently from him. But hey, if he's hitting 3 of 5 threes, I'll be happy. 6 of 11 overall. Again, he can get his shot off in other ways. And just keep with that aggressiveness. He's going to still be the starter going forward. I think the Pelicans like him in that role. But he's one of those starters that's like half a starter where he's going to be subbed out pretty quickly. But overall, very good night from him as well. Terrence Jones continues to see his stock rise with the Pelicans. He did exactly what you expect. You know, gave you scoring, I think it was 17 points. All of that coming inside, didn't hit a three-point shot tonight. He was really aggressive, looking to get passes by moving off the ball. That was what I liked the most out of him. He has a tendency to be lazy at times. Like I said, it looked like the Pelicans training staff, coaching staff, didn't trust him to start the year. Maybe he came into camp a little bit overweight, something along those lines. But you know, he was working off ball really hard tonight, trying to get make the right cut, trying to cut through the lane, turn around, whatever it was. If the ball handler, and this was primarily when he was on the court, was Tim Frazier a lot, was in trouble. He, like I said about Frazier, there was that time he cut into the lane, such a smart cut. The Hawks defense wasn't ready for it at all, and it allowed him just to get an easy bucket and score. He picked up, you know, he was fouled a couple of times. Went to the line 3 of 4 from there. You know, Pelicans, other than Anthony Davis, need someone who can get to the line consistently. It's been Holiday so far. He was quiet from there tonight. Terrence Jones is kind of the other guy you would expect to be able to do it. He's getting there. You'd like it a little bit more, but He's doing his job. Jones also grabbed 6 rebounds total. He had 9 rebound chances, so he's cleaning up on the boards when he's out there. That was a big concern of mine. When he's out there, he's not a tremendous defensive rebounder. Well, he grabbed 6 of them tonight, putting the end to possessions for the Hawks by grabbing those. Very good night from him. He's just got a lot of high energy right now. And, you know, this energy is just contagious through this team. He was a spark against Charlotte at times. And you want to see this out of him. He's a guy coming off the bench. You know, he's certainly going to be making a case to potentially be starting, though I think that's going to be matchup dependent, because the other starter tonight was Omer Asik. With a team that has Dwight Howard, you have to expect Oshik's going to be the guy there. Oshik played 22 minutes. Dwight Howard played 19 minutes. So you can see a trend right there. This is what the Pelicans do. Anthony Davis doesn't guard fives. You need another big bruising center out there. And that's what Omer Asik does. He's a situational player for the Pelicans right now. And that's a great role for him. There'll be nights when he plays less. There's going to be nights when he plays more. It's going to depend. But he did his job incredibly well tonight. I don't like individual plus minus. I've told you guys that. But he had the highest on the team with plus 26 in just 21 minutes. He made his shots when he got the ball the few times. He was 2 of 3, got to the line once, was 2 of 2 from there, grabbed 6 rebounds. That's exactly what you want him to do. But the other thing is, he did, and it doesn't show up all the time on the stats, he was contesting everything that Dwight Howard was trying to do. He was, Dwight Howard took, I think it was 6 shots on the night. I've got the stats in front of me. Sorry, you guys. 6 shots on the night, 6 field goal attempts. 5 of them were contested. You want to know who's contesting those? Omer Asik. He's making life harder for these centers. He's not great at taking away drives to the rim by perimeter players, by the guards. But when you've got a big center like that, a guy who can make the Pelicans pay because Anthony Davis isn't good at defending them, this is where Omer Asik comes into play. And I think it's absolutely a wonderful thing that they're using him situationally rather than forcing him into the starting lineup. I know a lot of people want to see him maybe come in at crunch time more when the Pelicans need a rebound. Don't forget, just because you need to grab a defensive board because you've been struggling there, you still have to play on offense. That's not where Asik excels. He did his job tonight guarding Dwight Howard, handling that when he was in, and just making life easier for the other Pelicans on the court defensively. There was a Solomon Hill sighting. I know it's rare. It's kind of like Bigfoot now. But Solomon Hill, hey, he hit some three-pointers. 3 of them. He's been getting good looks all season. He really has. It's not like he's taking bad shots. It's just he's not making them, and he's not playing particularly well because of that. And, you know, if he's not making his three-point attempts from the corner, from wherever they are, you know, he's largely unplayable for the Pelicans, even though his defense is really, really good, you guys. You got to watch him work, especially off the ball on that side. But he made 3 of 4 from 3 tonight. A very, very good thing. It was nice to see. He needed that. The Pelicans needed him to get in a rhythm and to, you know, just kind of get some confidence back. He even hit a shot that was like a two-pointer in traffic. This is nice to see. I expect he'll probably get back into the starting lineup eventually again. I don't know when that'll be. The Pelicans coaching staff seems enamored with Dante Cunningham. I'm not a big fan of Cunningham right now. I don't think he plays very good defense. But he at times gives you more offense than Solomon Hill does. So I understand it. But if Hill hits these threes better than what he was doing before, he's going to push Cunningham out of that starting lineup. And that starting lineup is just going to get better because they're getting some more defense out there, which is exactly what they need. And I want to talk about this Pelicans defense a little bit. We already knew that was the buzzword coming into the season, the area they were trying to fix. And so far, a lot of the stats are showing that they're improving, but not great. And I've said, I think this defense, it's a bit overrated, actually. I think they're probably worse than what the numbers show. They've had a few games where the opponents struggled defensively against them. Think that Denver game that they lost, the opening game of the season. That Spurs game was kind of a weird one for the Spurs. That Memphis game was, what was it? Something like 80 points scored in overtime. So, you know, they've had a few, and it's a sample size issue kind of where the strong defensive performances are really kind of boosting up that number, and it's not necessarily an accurate representation of their defensive ranking and their defensive prowess. And I even said against Portland, I thought they probably should have lost that game because their defense was still really bad. Portland just didn't shoot well. So, you know, again tonight, it was a different story. Defense was pretty good. We knew the Pelicans wanted to switch on defense a lot. That's why they brought in guys who can guard multiple positions. You have someone like Solomon Hill who can guard the three and four, each one more that can guard multiple positions. Terrence Jones that can guard power forward centers. You want to switch on defense when, you know, a guard, say Dennis Schroeder, gets a screen from Millsap or from Howard, whatever it is. You want those guys to be able to switch so you can just kind of not worry about fighting through screens a lot of the time if it's not there. You know, you get in, rather than it being a mismatch in favor of the opposition, the Pelicans will be okay. And that hasn't been the case tremendously this year. But last night, I recorded this after the game, but I try and make it so it's like I'm talking this morning for you guys. It's really weird. It actually legit has thrown off days of mine when I record the podcast a day in advance. I get really confused about what day of the week it is. But yet still somehow I'm qualified to, you know, put out analysis on the Pelicans. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so tonight, last night, see, I'm still doing it. Against the Hawks, they switched, and they held their own on switches, which was really an impressive thing to see. The big men kept the guards from getting into the paint. The guards who were switching onto the big men for the Pelicans were denying those entry passes by getting their hands up. That's exactly what this defense is designed to do. That's why Atlanta can shoot, you know, 45, 46% from the field, and the Pelicans still blow them out and hold them to under 100 points because they're denying these easy good looks that teams are thriving off of. If you're hitting contested twos and threes, there's nothing the Pelicans can do about it. They were contesting them. They did their job. Atlanta did that a lot where they made shots that were contested. Kyle Korver especially, there was one where Etuan Moore had a hand like on his face and the dude still hit a three. But their defense tonight, when they switched, they held their own. They made smart double teams at the right times. They didn't try and double in weird places. If a guy was in the corner or driving baseline, they doubled. He's got less room to work with. There's less room to go. It's harder to break that double and make the defense pay. They doubled at the right time. There was one point they doubled in the corner. It was Terrence Jones and I forget who else. And the guy had to make a terrible cross-court pass that Jrue Holiday just picked off. You can see this is what they've wanted to do all season long. They haven't been necessarily successful doing it, but the seeds of what they're trying to build are there, and they're correct. And it was good to see out of them tonight, especially against a team that has a lot of quickness in their guard position. Schrader's, you know, fast. Tim Hardaway Jr. still fast. They have shooting in Kyle Korver, Cephalosha. They got bigs who can punish you down low. Millsap is excellent. And, you know, again, Dwight Howard is there, and he can make you pay on the low block. And they managed to handle this on switches. Terrence Jones was on Howard for a little bit at times. He did his job there. Didn't make it easy. It was really nice to see. This is a very good defensive showing, and Pelicans fans should be very proud of what they saw tonight, and it should give you a lot of encouragement moving forward. So with it being Thanksgiving tomorrow, you know, we got to do what we're thankful for. And as a Pelicans fan, and, you know, there's a lot you should all be thankful for, despite the record right now. Right now, you should be thankful for, you know, a 5-10 record that, you know, it could be a whole lot worse. They could still have two wins. These are three victories over very impressive teams. And that's going to lead in the next thing to be thankful for, and that is Jrue Holiday. I don't know what it is, the energy he's brought to the team, but you can just see it. It's kind of permeating through these guys that Holiday being back has given them some confidence that they were missing to start the year. Again, this Atlanta win is a huge showing of that. Davis goes out. When that happened against the Lakers, when he went to the locker room, they just quit and folded and just gave up. Against the Hawks, did not do that. They fought. They thought they could win this game, and a lot of that has to do with Holiday being back and the boost he's given them and how well he's played for them. So be thankful for Jrue Holiday for sure. I'm thankful for a lot of the kind of weird free agent signings they made this past offseason. Etuan Moore, Solomon Hill, Terrence Jones, re-signing Tim Frazier. These are fun guys to watch, to be honest. I really enjoy watching Hill's defense, off-ball defense, on-ball defense. Seeing Terrence Jones kind of blow me away with how he's played, and he is playing well. You know, It's not perfect. It's not amazing, but he's playing well. When I thought he was going to be almost a net negative on this team, has been something I'm thankful for. Etuan Moore just providing some consistent shooting for this team that they didn't have. Even when they had Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, those guys aren't consistent three-point shooters, or at least they weren't when they were in Pelicans uniforms. So all of this has been absolutely wonderful. Tim Frazier, that plucky little guy that it's like hard not to root for. Just don't run him in the pick and roll and I'll be happy. Let him create off-ball kind of that makes no sense. Let him create other ways without having a guard, a big setting a pick for him. I'm thankful for him. Obviously, we've got to be thankful for Anthony Davis. One of the leading scorers in the league this season especially shows you why you need to be thankful for him. Back-to-back 38-point games, Western Conference Player of the Week, 40-point games, all the rebounds, all of the blocks, all of the highlights. You know, the window is ticking on his tenure here, potentially. He came out the other day and said some great things about how he still wants, you know, nothing's changed despite this bad start for the team. He still wants to win games here. He wants to be competitive here. He's under contract. He's going to say that. But it does seem like he's happy here, and he's showing why he's a top player in the league. Pelicans fans, you'll have a chance to go see him. You know, 41 regular season home games in the Smoothie King Center. Be thankful for him here. You know, no one holds a grudge against Chris Paul anymore. At least I hope you don't. But think about all the great performances and how much fun those were to be there live in person or to watch on TV. So be thankful for Anthony Davis, even if this team isn't winning right now. And last but not least, be thankful there's a team here. This at one point was kind of in jeopardy, where it seemed like people wanted to buy it when George Shinn could no longer financially afford them. Potentially, they were going to get moved, whether it was to San Jose, to another city, to Seattle. People wanted to move this team. I don't know how serious those talks were, once with the league once it came to that. But the league stepped in, said we're keeping them in New Orleans. Yeah, they have it. They've only made the playoffs once since that's happened. And, you know, they got swept in the first round and got knocked out by the Golden State Warriors, who were incredible. But you know what? There's still a basketball team in this city. And even a 5-10 basketball team is better than no basketball team at all. I enjoy going to the games. I know a lot of people enjoy going to the games. They're fun. It's fun to be there in person for some tremendous performances. You know, Anthony Davis on opening night, even in a loss, it's absolutely amazing to see. You know, again, if they're bad, they never make the playoffs. Everyone cares. They want them to do well. But simply having a team is better than not having a team. And that is absolutely, without a doubt, what I'm most thankful for. So enjoy your Thanksgiving tomorrow. Hopefully you eat well or, like I said, drink well if you get sick of your family and need to get the hell out of there and just get some time to yourself. I've done that before. Don't worry. No one's judging you. Nap early after all of the turkey. You know, just go big. That's what this day is for. So have fun with your family. Be thankful for the Pelicans, everything else. No podcast tomorrow. No podcast Friday. We're going to take a long weekend here at Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. One more thing that I forgot to mention in the last little segment. I'm thankful for all of you, the listeners. This is why I do this. This is why I write for Bourbon Street Shots. I could just scream at a bar to my friends. They'd actually listen to me. But I do this because more people want to hear it, because more people are passionate about this team. And I think that is damn awesome. So I'm thankful for you, listeners. I'm thankful for you, Pelicans fans. There's a wonderful community around this team. It's going to be, this team hopefully improves. It's only going to get better from here. So thank you guys for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, writer for BourbonStreetShots.com. Check that out today. I've got an article up there talking about Jrue Holiday in the pick and roll, how that's been a huge improvement. About half his shots have come in the pick and roll, which has been pretty cool since he's been back. They really needed that. Use Frazier other ways. I like this. This offense can click at times. You can see what Gentry's trying to do. So again, enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I'll be back with you guys on Monday.